Welcome to today's episode of Conversations with John and Lisa. I'm obviously Lisa, and this is part two of one of our favorite topics to talk about. It is possibly one of the most challenging topics to live. It's easy to talk about, hard to live. But before we dive into this topic of obedience, don't be scared. I just want to let you know that Conversations with John and Lisa is actually part of a family of podcasts. The Messenger podcast, the first one is Let's Talk About It with Sons and Daughters. We've also got The Godmother with Yours Truly. And we've got a new one that is being rebranded that we'll let you know more information about. But today we are actually continuing that conversation that we already started. And I'm excited about it. I asked John to find a particular verse. He can't find it. If you find it, then I won't embarrass him. But I'm going to read a little. We love it when you guys review. When you guys do reviews and ratings, it really helps us. But we had a sweet anonymous person say, I absolutely love listening to John and Lisa. So much wisdom and such amazing advice. Love you guys so much. I love that you think that and said that because you've made so many mistakes that we get to learn from.
That's true. So Lisa, we're gonna pick up our conversation on obedience. And I think the first thing that needs to be stated is obedience is not a dreadful subject because of the grace of God. The grace of God not only frees us from the penalty of sin, it empowers us to do what we couldn't do under the law, and that is to obey God. So it liberated us to obey. Isn't that a cool thought? It liberated us.
Does my lollipop disturb you?
Obey.
It did. And obedience comes with reward.
You know, when people hear liberated, they think, oh, I can do whatever I want. I can rebel. Well, you actually are a slave to who you obey, Paul said.
Yeah, so obedience is, the truth is we're obeying something. Either we're obeying God or we're obeying our flesh.
And when we obey our flesh, we actually become a slave. With the very thing we think we're getting free from.
You're just choosing masters.
You're actually becoming in bondage.
Wow. Okay, so John, you shared some stuff last season. You talked about the Dallas Cowboys. You talked about a couple idols, a couple not being willingly instant. Have you ever walked through a season where it was really hard for you to learn obedience? And if so, do you want to share it? I love you talking about disobedience as opposed to me talking about disobedience.
The seasons that I've struggled the most are the seasons that I didn't spend time on my relationship with Jesus.
What does that look like?
That looks like sleeping in. It looks like not reading my Bible. It looks like I'm so busy, I don't have time to spend alone with God. Now it becomes harder and harder to obey.
Yeah.
Just as, you know, for you and I, the COVID was a terrible thing for everybody, but for you and I, it was a wonderful experience in our marriage because we had never spent so much time together being on lockdown, and we ended up really drawing close. And I remember—
I ended up beating you at a lot of games.
Yeah, you did.
I did not know I could do.
But I remember when we started traveling separate again, I was a little saddened by the fact that, boy, we had a real amazing rhythm going, a closeness going. Will that go back to us being really busy, going two different ways? And people, let me tell you something, Lisa and I fought that. And it hasn't. I'm so glad to see that. But this is when I've had the greatest struggle in obeying God, when other lovers tried to enter into my life. And what I mean by other lovers is I'm talking about golf.
Maybe other loves. Maybe we should say other loves.
Well, the Bible refers to them as lovers.
Okay.
It says, don't you that love the world, you're adulterers, okay? So the lovers would be when I put golf above him, when I, you know, I was more excited and passionate about the Cowboys.
Ministry.
The Dallas Cowboys than him.
Yeah.
When I put ministry, you just said something so important. Lisa, I have seen people in ministry end up in bed with some woman other than their wife. And if you really sit down and talk to them about it afterwards, they said, I put the ministry before my relationship with God, which affected my relationship with my wife.
Well, we see that at the judgment seat. Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. And he says, depart. I didn't know you, you who practice iniquity,
which
means to go my own way, which means I'm obedient to self.
To my desires.
My desires, yeah, to self. I wanna, it's not here on the notes, but one of my favorite scriptures that as a parent we were able to do and something I love to hear you preach about, but it says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. And so, or the fat of the land or whatever. So I remember with my boys telling them, I want you to be willing and obedient. And so I had to model to them what that looked like. And I said, you can, if I say, hey, if you, you know, I want you to do such and such. And if you do it with a bad attitude, you're doing it, but you're going to lose some of your reward of eating the good, of having joy, of feeling the benefit of that, of disciplining your soul. And you would talk about preaching about being willing is your attitude, mm-hmm. and obedient is your actions. And God does look at both our actions and our attitudes.
Yeah. I really believe obedience starts in your soul, in your will. When you're willing, the actions are easier to line up
with. To follow.
Yeah. And I want to make this point really clear because we didn't make it clear enough last podcast. Mm-hmm. And that is obedience is not always easy. We're empowered to obey, but I didn't say it makes it easy to obey. Because I want everyone that's listening to us think about God saying to Abraham, you've waited for this promised son for 25 years. Mm-hmm. Wow, 25 years you've waited for this promise that God promised you. He said this son is yours.
Right.
And then God one night comes to him and says, I want you to go sacrifice him. Doesn't tell him why. Mm-hmm. Doesn't give him any understanding. I'll never forget, you know, Addison, when he was a teenager, he said to me, look, I don't mind obeying you, Dad, but can you tell me why you ask me to do these things? And I said, well, Addison, let me tell you about a prophet that God said, go prophesy to the king. Don't eat a thing while you go there.
Don't speak to anybody.
And don't go a different and go, come back
go one
a different
way,
path.
Come back a different way. Don't speak to anybody. Don't turn aside on the road. Yep.
And I said, does that make any sense to you? He said, no. I said, yet that prophet not doing it, he was devoured by a lion. I said, so God didn't give him the understanding.
I need to correct you because I am the lioness queen. He was not devoured by a lion. He was knocked off his donkey and the lion did not eat him, but the lion did kill him. And they found a donkey on one side of him and the lion on the other
side.
Right,
because I said the word devoured.
You did.
You are 100% correct.
I'm sorry. I
was 100% incorrect.
That's one of our favorite things to say to each other.
Lisa loves it when I say, babe, you are 100% right.
We got to stay scriptural.
Let's just make this official.
We got to stay scriptural.
You are 100% right. The lion killed him. But
did not eat him.
But the same principle is true with Abraham. Yeah. Abraham. I've been reading, okay, I got to explain to everybody. I've just got through reading the first 19 chapters of Genesis, and I saw Abram.
Oh,
and I'm just getting to the Abraham. I know. Can you imagine, God says to you, go kill your son, the one you waited for 25 years, doesn't give him a reason, doesn't tell him, hey, if you go do this, you'll seal the covenant because then I'll give my son. He just says, go kill him. Can you imagine that evening? Now, this is what I love about Abraham. The Bible says early the next morning.
Yeah.
And God gave him a 3-day journey. I mean, yeah, maybe when you hear God's voice the night before, you can get up early the next morning and start in the journey. But what about 2.5 days later when you haven't heard anything from God and you're looking at the mountain, you're going to put the most important person or thing to death in your life just because God said, do it and didn't give you a reason. But I love it. He goes up on top of that mountain and he lifts that knife up until the angel stops him. And so I am safe to say, and I would even bet on it, that was not easy for him to obey.
There's no way that was easy, except for there's a couple things I want to highlight. Abraham was a friend of God, which meant he had a revelation of the goodness of God, where he knew that God was faithful.
I love
that.
That
he who promised was faithful. It wasn't about Abraham's ability. It was about Abraham's inability and God's faithful ability. So he even, as he's going up to the mountain, he says, we are going to go and we will return. I don't know if he was like, God's just going to raise my son from the dead or whatever. But what I also love was there was a new revelation of who God was. And I believe that's the first time you ever hear the word worship. We're going to go worship.
Yep.
So they go up. So obedience and worship
go hand in hand.
Hand in hand. Not
to
sacrifice.
To be honest with you, true worship is obedience.
Thank you. And then it says that when the angel saw, okay, you know, Abraham's serious about this, I better stop him. God says, now that I know you wouldn't withhold your only son, God's like, okay, we're going to take care of this. And a ram is caught in the thicket. And there's the revelation of God, Jehovah Jireh, the resourcer, the provider. And so I love that obedience brings a revelation of God, the provider. So disobedience usually comes with lack. Obedience comes with fullness. If you're willing and obedient, you'll what?
Eat the good of the land.
The good of the land. Yeah.
Wow.
And so provision.
You know, I look at Abraham. Some people think, well, he knew God would stop him. No, he didn't, because
there was no precedent for that.
Hebrews says that he had received his son raised from the dead in a figure. So in his imagination, he was like, I'm going to go kill my son. And because God said through that son, the promise would be given.
He's going to have to
of many nations.
It out.
God's going to have to raise him up from the dead. And that meant that he was willing to obey all the way to that knife going in to Isaac's heart. And you know, Abraham is called the father of faith, right? And if you look at the disciples, the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. When did they say that? Not when he healed the sick, not when he opened a blind eye, when he said, forgive your brother seven times in a day if your brother wrongs you. That's when they cried out, we need greater faith.
So what you're saying is obedience requires faith.
Yes. So Jesus then tells him this story. He said, which of you having a servant plowing and tending will, when he comes in from the field, will say to him, sit down and eat? Will he rather not say to the servant, serve my meal and then you can eat? So what is Jesus saying? The whole reason that servant's out in the field and out there tending the sheep is to provide food for his master. Why would the servant not fully obey and bring the meal to the master? So what Jesus is saying is, when you obey me and you obey me to completion, you get the reward. Now you get to eat. And Lisa, something I've learned is that the greatest reward of obedience is stronger faith. So what you compromise when you disobey is you compromise the strength of your faith, which will ultimately affect you, because without faith, it's impossible to please God, and the just shall live by their faith.
Yeah.
So if you want to
say you believe God and be disobedient is what I'm hearing too.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you want to get a visual image, do you remember when I was scrawny and I was about 140 pounds and the WWF wrestler said, we need to get you in shape. And he took me to the gym and trained me. And I'll never forget the day that his wife looked at me and said, you don't just have a weightlifting problem, you have a nutrition problem. Because you and I were so poor, all we ate was pasta every night.
Yeah, we couldn't afford protein.
We couldn't afford protein. So she said, you're going to have to buy protein powder at the very least. So I started putting protein in and I started lifting, and my muscles got to the point where at one point, Lisa, I was able to bench press over 300 pounds.
You can't do that anymore.
No way.
I didn't really like you that big.
Okay, but anyway, the point being is this. Get an image in your mind that when you choose to continually disobey God, what your faith muscles are going to look like is me at 140 pounds, scrawny, skinny, didn't have a lot of strength to do things. I couldn't even open up your makeup. You had to give it to the guy ahead of us on the plane.
It was nail polish.
I couldn't open it up because I wasn't strong enough. But then, and then when I started lifting weights, I've never once not been able to open up your nail polish. And I've been able to do a lot of things because of the strength. So it's so crucial. You end up hurting yourself by disobeying God's word because your faith diminishes.
Well, and I want to go back to this dynamic of a relationship. God is our father.
Right.
And we are his children. And children, so we relate to God the Father. He relates to us as children. And children, it doesn't always mean it's pleasurable or fun to be obedient, but it's always safer to be obedient.
And beneficial.
Right, because your parents aren't telling you something that's going to hurt you. they're actually either developing a strength in your life, protecting you from a weakness or danger or something like that. And, you know, my mom used to always insert me into this one particular parable, which I don't even know how she knew about it. But anyway, she was like, there's two kids and one says, I'm not doing it. And then they go and do it. And then there's another that says, okay, mom, and doesn't do it. And she said, I know you will always throw a fit, Lisa, but you will always end up obeying, which made me mad. And I had all these moments of declaration of independence, because what is my Goliath? I don't want my choices taken away. But ultimately, obedience is going to win. So the truth is, I had to learn to shorten that gap between the I won't do it to just doing it. And obedience isn't necessarily a fun thing. I want to share a time with everybody out there, because all of yours are really sweet, like Christianese disobedience.
But okay, no, they are. You, they're beautiful.
No, I mean it. They're like, I didn't fast. I didn't pray. I didn't intercede. I remember actually having a relationship, a friendship, and God told me. He said, this is not a healthy relationship. This is not healthy for you. This is not healthy for your friend. This is unhealthy. And I said, no, God, I don't have any friends. If I don't have this friendship, I don't want to give it up. I'll just try harder. I'll look at this. I'll do that. And
yeah, you guys are really close.
Yeah.
I remember this.
And all I can say now is, if I had just not thrown the fit, if I had just been obedient at the beginning. Because what happens is, if God tells you that he wants you to himself in a certain area, if he is saying, hey, you're out there, you're listening to me, and he's like, you can have that friendship, but you can't have that friendship and have what I have for you. And that's basically what he said to me. You have to choose, Lisa. You can have what I have for you, or you can have that friendship. And I said, oh, I think I can work it out where I can have both. I feel like I can have both. And it caused me so much heartache because I mishandled it. And some of you are out there and you're thinking, oh, I don't know. You know, there's things that God tells John and I that we can't do that he won't necessarily tell you can't do. But you have to be obedient. And so when I had a relationship like that, you know, I had to let go of it. And I count myself just as guilty in that situation. But it went sour, and it went sour bad. And I lost something that probably could have been preserved in a different manner had I not been disobedient.
So always remember this, everyone, as we close. You can choose to disobey, and God will not force you to obey him.
And he'll still love you.
He'll still love you. But there is a huge price to pay later.
Yeah.
And if you obey, even when it hurts, even when you don't understand, there's a huge harvest of blessing later. And if I could only tell all the stories that we've seen in 35, 40 years of ministry walking with Jesus, of the people that thought they could blatantly disobey, and they liked them getting the benefit, and they thought they could endure the consequences. Yeah. If I interviewed every one of them to this very day, they would say the greatest mistake I made was disobeying God. And because they've paid dearly. And it's not God didn't make them pay.
Yeah.
No, God. If your mother tells you, don't put your hand in the gas stove fire, and you disobey her, and you put the hand in the gas stove fire, your mother did not burn your hand.
No, you made a
choice. You are reaping the consequences of your choice. God never, ever punishes his kids with that kind of evil or suffering.
No, he actually says, I set before you life, death, blessing, cursing. And then he says, choose life. He's like, this is going to be the better pathway.
Yeah.
This is going to be the better track for you. Well, you know, John, I feel like we could do 18 more of these. I keep thinking now of all these other instances that we are out of time. But I want to just thank you. Thank you for tuning in. And I want you to know, if you've listened and you thought about areas in your life that you now feel like, maybe I am not being obedient, that's Holy Spirit talking to you. Go ahead, be courageous, get alone with God, and just ask him, God, reveal the places where I am walking in disobedience or partial obedience, because you and I both know partial obedience is actually disobedience. In the meantime, we'd love you to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. When you do that, it actually helps us get the show out further. And if you haven't done this already, we'd love to see you download the Messenger X app. Now, you can get that on Google, or you can get it on the App Store, and it's Messenger X with no space between Messenger and X. And John, isn't there a podcast challenge right now that you're doing?
There is. The podcast challenge is to see who can share the most courses with the most friends. Now, Lisa, I spent a little bit of time the other evening, and I got to 9 credits, because there's actually...
I feel like that's kind of low for how hard you worked.
I'm going...
John's friends aren't really working it out there.
No, I should have spent more time, but, you know...
No, they should have realized the value of it.
Well, and here's what's really, really cool, is the feedback that I've gotten, they've been so grateful. And so just think, you're taking a little bit of time on your end, but you really may see somebody's life changed.
Yeah. And if you're not sure what we're talking about, let's say you thought, man, I want to get some relationship tools. You can go into the Messenger X app. You can go to this whole area on relationship, download Chip Judge's relationship. Yep. I can't remember exactly what the course is called, but download that. And then you're thinking, wait a minute, as you're watching, I know some other couples that would love to go through this, or a girlfriend who would love to go through this. You just share it with them. That's all you have to do. Share it by text. Share it to people. How hard is that? But don't just throw it their way. Say, hey, do you want to go through this
together
with me?
With me.
Absolutely.
We call it the monthly double. Find 2 friends,
yep,
and go through a course on this particular month, which we're in May right now.
Yeah.
We're almost in June. So just, hey, start setting a goal that every month you find 2 friends.
Or every 6 weeks whenever you're done with the course.
Yeah. And one that's really cool is Moms of Men. That's Lisa and Havila Cunnington. They're talking about raising 4 sons each.
And we have my boys on there talking, yep, about navigating brotherhood, navigating sexuality, navigating adolescence, what that was like for them.
And then we got Dr. Axe and Jordan Rubin talking about healthy living. Now, these are courses that people at one time paid a lot of money for, but in our recent times, yeah, we decided we want to make them, yeah, free and available to everybody. That's why you can share. It doesn't cost your friends anything. So,
so
again,
exciting.
Messenger X, and if you want to just do it on a computer, just type in messengerx.com in your what do you call
browser.
It? In your browser. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So until next time, this has been Conversations with John and Lisa, who Lisa is 100% correct.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with John and Lisa. Let us know your thoughts by leaving a review. You can subscribe and share these episodes through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows in the Messenger Podcast Network, including The Godmother with Lisa Bevere, Let's Talk About It with Sons and Daughters, and The Messenger Podcast. You can also connect with John and Lisa through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And don't forget, you can download the Messenger X app today in the App Store. Until next time.